And it is now about 2 seconds after 6 o'clock. So, or 5 o'clock. Sorry. Thanks for tuning in to CFRC 101.9 FM, the second hour, located here in Lower Carruthers Hall, Queen's University, Kingston, Ontario. My name is Bruce, and this is Finding a Voice, spoken word program, airing here every Friday afternoon from 4 to 6 o'clock. We do stream live online as well at www.cfrc.ca. And for all of those of you who might have just tuned in the first hour from the first round of the January 13th and the Journey Continues open mic reading in that monthly series at the Elm Cafe, you heard readings by Calista Markatich, Vicky Langelier, Taylor Davies, Joseph Elliott, Kelly Chatier, Bruce Cudmore, Clark Renault, Leanne Terrace, Fiona McMillan, Lee Sajay, Brent Raycroft, Eric Folsom, Jane McDonald, Liz Huntley Yench, Harlequin Crow, Leo Roberts, and me. And now coming up in this second hour from, again, that January 13th open mic, you'll hear readings in, again, the second round by Calista Markatich, Vicky Langele, Joseph Elliott, Bruce Cudmore, Leanne Terrace, Brent Raycroft, Eric Folsom, Jane McDonald, Liz Huntley Yench, Harlequin Crow, Leo Roberts, and me. And be a bit of music again in the second hour as well, and I'll have a little bit of time to talk about. I did a few calls in this first hour. In the second hour, I will move more, I think, into events. I think that's what I'll do in the few minutes that I have there. I do have a little more time, but I'm also going to play a couple of songs, actually, in this second hour, since anymore the open mics are so full that I don't have time to play any music, and that's a wonderful thing in itself. But in those times when I do get a chance to play a little bit of music, I do like to share some of that and not just spend the whole time talking. So my first mention at the start of each hour, I did this at the first hour too, is just to mention that occasionally some poetry, spoken word, or music played on this show may contain strong language. I do try to preserve that as much as possible and air everything as much as I can to protect the integrity of both the author and the piece. I did it in the first hour, but in case you're not familiar and weren't tuned into the first hour, just very briefly explain how the open mic at the Elm works. There's a sign-up sheet at the door. Each poet, I work off that sign-up sheet and just go down the order that everybody comes in or signs up to read. And each poet is called up, reads one poem, and then sits back down and go through the list of names after that and go through it until we've completed it. And then there's a short break. Then we begin the second round, and that's usually at least anywhere from a few to several fewer people in the second round. So what you're going to hear now is that second round that night. So here you go. You're going to recognize some names that are the same, obviously, as the first round. So in this round, you're going to hear readings by Calista Markatich, Vicky Langelier, Joseph Elliott, Bruce Cudmore, Leanne Terrace, Brent Raycroft, Eric Folsom, Jane McDonald, Liz Huntley Yench, Harlequin Crow, Leo Roberts, and me. And I actually will just bleed a song after my reading. So here we go. Well, welcome back, everybody. Let's go ahead and go hit round two and bring up Calista again.
Okay. Well, thank you. I don't know if you noticed, but I mentioned in my first poem that my husband's aunt died. Did you get that?
Yes, we did.
Good, good, good. Well, it was... This poem is also about that. She was not a very, she had been ill, it was her time, so it wasn't the kind of death that you read about where, you know, someone died that was, that the whole family was going to miss. She didn't have her own family, so my husband, who's an only child, was her family. So that meant I was her family. She wasn't an easy... I hope you don't think I'm a bad person. I might be risking a lot to read you this poem. Okay. At the death of my aunt, I see myself a crow. That's the title. I'm burned. Wings singed in wild grasses and seed heads set to flare, I face the heat. I was crow to her raven. Tight folded notes of light on the scorched ground like locusts beside my splayed black claws. They unfold saying sad, saying sorry. Oh, they ruffle my feathers. I thought she was everyone's raven. We were each other's pecking contrarian. Her very plumage drew my ire with its glossy, bossy gloss. High-flying, worldly bird that she was, till time's spiral whirled her home for us to tend. All ravenous needs and ego and the opportunist opinions of a raven. And I, unready, wren. Oh, what a little bird I was. Now my capable curved beak uncovers the uncouth culture of the crow. And the shadow of the raven hovers, skeptic of any truer Ruth. In dreams, the raven wheels high, soars in the pure, silent sky, scorning the raucous clamor of a lone crow. Sometimes I feel her cold white eyes zoom in and stick me with the question, who is the bad bird now? My sharp black beak opens wide, closes, opens, soundless, gular fluttering. Let Audubon attribute this phenomenon to heat. Eat crow, crow. You can't for long suppress the corvid cachinnations, the confession, the contrition.
So give Calista another hand. Let's bring up Vicky.
I'm 53, going through menopause. I'm in the middle of a heat flash. And it's very funny because I've written a poem. There's one in here about the heat, about that heat flash. What the hell is it called?
Hot flash.
Hot flash.
Yes.
This is about losing my words. So listen, this is very, it's here we go. It's called Estate Sale. My mind is being auctioned off one ordinary word at a time. Can I get a word? Do I hear a word? What is that word? Word, word, word. Going once, going twice, that word is gone. If this devolving brain is the harbinger of the crone, the wise woman, the elder, then color me baffled. Nevertheless, sell off every last bit of furniture of this gray matter mansion. And as I feel more and more demented, the jury deliberates on which way this sale is going to go.
As we give Vicky another hand, let's bring up Joseph.
Reading them twice is like a normal thing, but I always feel weird. It's like, you already heard it, you know. All right. Well, I'm only going to read one this time, but I'll read it twice. All right. This one is also not seasonally appropriate. Well, I don't know if it says that in it. It's just, to me, I know when it was written. Anyway. Off trail, what might have been a maple shack. Off trail, what might have been a maple shack. Thank you.
So give Joseph another hand. Let's bring up Bruce.
Well, I'm sorry I did a winter poem. But it's very short. The title will be just my description. I was walking in the woods and stopped to listen to the snow. Anyways. Billions of snowflakes softly landing in woods are one steady voice that never boasts about numbers.
Let's give Bruce another hand. Let's bring up Leanne.
The lure and the gift. Yet again, I find myself engulfed by the overwhelming darkness and suffocating anxiety. The pressure is unbearable and builds until it eats away my insides and my fragile mind. I become desperate, seeking at last relief and release. I reach for the little plastic bottle and count the tiny white tablets. I sigh, anticipating my internal slumber, my oblivion, and my elusive peace. I think I'm free from the constant darkness and demons that surround and drown me. Though they are all too familiar, I seek a final escape, the last exit, my end, the end of torment, the end of hope, and the end of life itself. I am utterly blinded by this desire, the only thing that matters. It is my solitary wish. This will be my last decision, my final act. No going back, no encore. I contemplate only myself and my excruciating endless pain and the promise of eternal escape, completely disregarding all others, husband, brother, mother, all the rest of my family and friends. Their steadfast love, concern, and support for me does not even enter into the equation, and neither does foresight of all their heartbreak, loss, trauma, and scars. You would think all of that would save me, would make me stop in my tracks, would beckon me to seek counsel and salvation. There, despairingly, is none of this. My persecuted, battered mind and soul will not be persuaded, will not be coaxed to choose resilience, to choose hope, to choose life. Instead, I welcome death. I am tempted and lured by its bestowing gift. I am enticed and convinced by my perceived certainty of the overdose to be my only way out, out of the repetition of the agony over so many years, decades of my immense suffering. Such harsh, relentless cruelty no living being should endure. But alas, endure I do. Despite my ferocious appetite to bid farewell to life, I continue to live. I in fact very much survive. And eventually in time, I find my center and my courage to heal. I embrace and foster my resilience. I reach out my hand and clasp the savior and saving grace of hope. Much to my astonishment and relief and delight, I begin to grow and glow with a renewed and restored light. I journey along the path to recovery, once again fully and robustly, engaging in the tricky yet exquisitely beautiful dance of life.
So give Leanne another hand. Let's bring up Brent.
I have a winter haiku, which I'll read twice, and with Bruce's indulgence, I'll just say something else after it.
Sure.
Oh, that's memorized. Sorry. I forgot I memorized it. With every brief thaw, winter tightens his armor. Less snow is more ice. With every brief thaw, winter tightens his armor. Less snow is more ice. And maybe a lot of you turned off the news to have a sort of dry January from the horror show. But I'm a doom scroller, and I watch everything, really. It's a bad habit, but it doesn't affect my sanity, I don't think. And there are bonuses. I'm sure some of you have run into Renee Good's award-winning poem. I mean, when someone is murdered by fascists, it's always the same loss and the same anger. But when it's a poet, it's kind of different. It's on poets.org under a previous name, Renee Nicole Macklin. And it's called On Learning to Dissect Fetal Pigs. I won't read it. It's an interesting poem. You can see why it won. It's full of beautiful things, and it kind of follows a disillusionment story from faith through science to... It's a bit of a downer, but it's so full of beautiful things. You think, is that the message? Anyway, in the middle of that poem, this is a segment that I think is kind of excerptable, because it is a fairly wandering sort of poem. Anyway. Now I can't believe that the Bible and Quran and Bhagavad Gita are sliding long hairs behind my ear like Mom used to do, and exhaling from their mouths make room for wonder. Thanks.
Thank you, Brent. As we give Brent another hand, let's bring up Eric.
Well, okay. Renee Nicole Good. And Antanas and Kastan. So part two of The Book Smuggler. They've grabbed Antanas, dragged him up against the wall, summoned the relatives to watch his execution. Sprinting up the slope through a stubble field of rye, Kastan ran heedless of his footing, slamming down hard on a broken blade of a scythe on the ground, the curved steel piercing his foot, lacerating his leg, pitching him forward as he choked back a raw scream. Bleeding, he flailed around and crawled towards concealment, looked over his shoulder, down towards the Cossacks, in time to see the bullets cutting down his brother. The family found Kastan and bandaged his wounds while staying alert for search parties at the door. They paid dear passage on an old cattle vessel to carry Castan by river to Germany, hidden secretly among heathers, among heifers and manure, his infected foot swelling with new agony. 3 years he waited for an overseas uncle who owned a tannery to arrange a visa. Hamburg to New York, on board the President Grant, then Lynn, Massachusetts, the town where I was born. First a stretcher, then foreman, fine leather for shoes. Castan evolved into Gus, my grandpa Serbig. Lynn, where Frederick Douglass wrote the narrative. City of first female workers' labor march, where his daughter, my adoptive mother, grew up. Gus's accent thick as slices of dark rye bread. They're part of my heritage, but my DNA is mostly Yankee Puritan seasoned with Scots. Cautious to claim that label, Lithuanian. Yeah, Nana and Aunt Amelia on Sundays. The lorem ipsum wash of rural dialect wallpapering my brain before I went outside to play ball with Tippy, the Boston Terrier. Keep that slobbered ball out of cucumber plants. When Grandpa died, the woman cleaned out his bureau, gave me secondhand socks he hardly ever wore, old-fashioned patterns woven from shiny fibers. I stuck them in the back of my drawer and forgot them. Never asked questions about history back home. Never wondered why Grandfather walked with a limp. But strangely now, my heart overfills with fury, thinking of thugs from a distant imperium.
So give Eric another hand. Let's bring up Jane.
This one definitely needs work, but I'm going to read it anyway. KGH, December. The hospital on the lake is occupied, ground level, and at the top. Some windows lean onto the view, waves active beyond glass. We see them crash, and we hear it. Wreath light LEDs, warm white, reflect off winter panes, dimmed by daylight, not overcome, they sing. Marrow groans and swells in the emergency infusion. What hold fast? Where does the mind endure so she can live? Every day, a new technician, the smiling one who explains things, the young one still in school learning to target the beams, all of them so kind. And they have a job to do. On King Street, resting at the handrail from the foyer, a woman waits on her ride. The pink skin at her neck should be protected from the incriminating cold. Her eyes, maybe they see the ones who say to her hello and keep walking. And when they've left, her eyes will keep looking. Dark bodies, we are shot through by neutrinos, and still we are not pinned down.
Let's give Jane another hand. Let's bring up Liz.
So this one is like really over the top, and just to make it extra, extra, I like to read it with a little. It's called Riding in Style. I hope the light is enough. For Mother's Day, my husband gifts me a pair of oversized Chanel sunglasses. Later, he teases me for wearing them while taming our lawn on the tractor mower. But honestly, where else did he think I would wear them? Shall I wear my oversized Chanel sunglasses at night while pacing the dark living room with my teething baby? Will the moonlight glinting silvery off the interlocking seas soothe us both? Shall I wear my oversized Chanel sunglasses while wrestling an oversized shopping cart through Costco, overloaded with two feral children and a baby in an infant car seat, two jumbo boxes of diapers, 2 kilos of peanut butter, and $200 of raspberries? Will the sunglasses shield me from my six-year-old shrieks when I refuse to allow him a free sample of coffee? Shall I wear my oversized Chanel sunglasses on my milk-stained sofa while texting the girlfriends I never see because all of our kids are overscheduled with school and after-school programs and soccer practice and piano lessons and art classes, and the one time we managed to arrange a Sunday get-together we had to cancel because somebody had a snotty nose? Perhaps I'll wear my oversized Chanel sunglasses while I tell my husband, no, sorry, not tonight. I have a headache.
As we give Liz another hand, let's bring up Harlequin.
Sweetheart Neckline. She waits for me to find her. Hidden among shelves, I fight panic to approach. I wonder if the same fear which seeks to smother me plagued the lines of queens who previously dared their own version of this journey, this quest into self-realization. Those fabulous femmes who braved pink-labeled shelves forbidden by cultural constructs. And now comes my turn to attempt courage, to slide aside hangers with clicks that match the rhythm of heartbeats poised on panic's precipice, at the thought someone might approach, demand I justify my presence in a place so far removed from my appointed space. And yet, it feels so right to find her. A dark teal beauty uncovered as a final hanger clicks aside, reveals a narrow skirt, a sweetheart neckline. Fitting room trials follow as hips wiggle into curve-defining fabric and shoulders contort to unfamiliar angles while I chase a zipper which refuses closure without protest. A struggle whose end sees tears bead in the corners of my eyes as I look in the mirror, finally see her reflect back at me.
As we give Harlequin another hand, let's bring up Leo.
All right, thank you, Google Drive, for crashing. All right, here we go. So, as I've been writing over the past few years, there are a few words that I keep returning to that I feel like I felt a lot of gravity to them. So this one is like a personal poet's dictionary. It's a little experiment I got going on. Hey. Breathe. I use this too much. But as a mechanism of spoken word in life itself, so be it. Dirt. Where plants and corpses live. Invoke to express fear or a wish. Eyes, in which there's a light or a lack thereof, the light must fade at least once in an interesting life. Flesh, the consumption of which is the highest form of affection. See also blood. Gentle, the texture of ether in a world of only two people felt as they crossed the divide. See also quiet, soft. God, daddy issues. Like actual issues with dads, it's often misdirected. Grief, a feeling that should be reserved for the dead, but 20-somethings use for lost love. Whether they're of equivalent magnitude or we're just naive, I've yet to know. We will, soon enough. Heart, I use this too much. But it's where the poems come from. It's functionally grammar. Whisper, when to another, the most direct way to speak to a heart. when to oneself, a thought so powerful or important, it gets reborn as an utterance. Thank you. Used to end a poem.
As we give Leo another hand, let's give Anthea another hand for taking great care of us tonight. And one more round for all of the incredible poetry we've heard tonight. Give yourselves and everybody else a hand. And next month, we're back to the first Tuesday night of the month, so February 3rd here. So I look forward to seeing you then. And my last poem had the title, but I decided while I was standing over there I didn't like the title. So right now it is untitled. Anyway, just noticed. After several almost winter-like days, these last few in November, milder. And I believe there might not be a joy more profound than the one I see on the face of a small, white, fluffy dog in a passing car, window down, on its owner's lap, standing on its hind legs, front paws on the ledge of an open window, head hanging out, with the breeze of acceleration wafting through that puppy's fur and endlessly ruffling its cheeks. Thanks. What a great night, everybody. Thank you again very much. Give yourselves another hand.
And you stay tall.
And you just heard Sia. That's off of her fourth studio album that came out in, I believe, 2008. The album called Some People Have Real Problems, the song called Lullaby. Before the music, you heard from, again, that January 13th and the Journey Continues monthly open mic event in the second round at the Elm Cafe. And you heard readings again by Callista Markatich, Vicky Langelier, Joseph Elliott, Bruce Cudmore, Leanne Terrace, Brent Raycroft, Eric Folsom, Jane McDonald, Liz Huntley Yench, Harlequin Crow, Leo Roberts, and then me. Tell you what, I think we're about ready for this, so let's do this and I'll be right back. And then I'm going to share some events and maybe some more calls. I don't know if I'll have time for that, but they're later in the month, but the events are coming up, so let's do this first.
Friday evenings at 6 p.m. here on CFRC, listen to Saltwater Music, a show covering all musical genres from the East Coast of Canada. Celtic, of course, but also rock, jazz, blues, folk, and a lot more. I'm your host, Rob Carnell. Tune in to Saltwater Music Friday evening from 6 to 8 here on CFRC 101.9 FM. Or you can catch us on the web at www.cfrc.ca. And for our listeners out east, that's 7 p.m. Atlantic and 7:30 Newfoundland.
Hello and welcome to Salt Licked in Rapture. I'm your host, Nishan Tung. Salt Licked in Rapture is a sonic exploration of, to quote Virginia Woolf, violent waves of emotion. Featuring both known and lesser known musicians and poets, a special emphasis is placed on oddball, enigmatic, outsider artists whose work invokes dreamscapes and feelings of alienation, nostalgia, melancholy, existential unease, and yearning. Join me on Fridays at 8 p.m. on CFRC 101.9 FM.
Guys, gals, non-binary pals, different circles is moving. Same day, different time slot. We're now on Fridays at 9 p.m. Join me from 9 to 10 p.m. for an adventure through sound. Who knows, you might just find your next favorite song.
Partners in Mission Food Bank could not exist without the loyalty, dedication, and support of volunteers, some of whom have been with us for over 30 years. Our team of volunteers consists of individuals who continually devote both their time and skills on a regular basis in an effort to make a positive impact on hunger and the food needs of the community. Volunteering has no age limits. Your commitment and energy is enough. It is a great way to make new friends and contribute to your community. Partners in Mission Food Bank volunteers provide essential services in many ways, including assembling daily hampers, sorting food donations, breaking down and portioning bulk items, packing eggs into cartons, keeping the warehouse safe and clean, and providing helpful input to other volunteers and staff. Interested in volunteering with Partners in Mission Food Bank? Please call our volunteer coordinator at 613-544-4100.
Greetings, loved ones. This is DJ Nasty Nexus coming to you live and direct from CFRC 101.9. I'm here to bring you the goods from my new show, Classless Radio, airing every Friday night at 11 p.m. I'll be giving you hits and hidden gems all the way from jazz to blues and hip-hop and R&B. Music from the soul that everybody needs. Hop on my wavelengths and get right with the kid to kick off your big weekend. Stay tuned.
Wouldn't it be wonderful if you could borrow a musical instrument free of charge, just like you can borrow books from your local library? We think so too. That's why the Joe Chitlin Memorial Musical Instrument Lending Library, also known as Joe's Mill, has been lending guitars, keyboards, saxophones, and many other instruments to the Kingston community free of charge for almost 20 years. We are a registered charity, relying solely on the generosity of our community to donate their time, money, and instruments to keep this amazing service alive. Find us at www.joesmill.org or Joe's Mill on Facebook for more information on borrowing instruments or contributing to Joe's Mill.
And you are and have been listening to Finding a Voice here on CFRC 101.9 FM. We are located in Lower Carruthersaw, Queen's University, Kingston, Ontario. My name is Bruce. I'm here every Friday afternoon from 4 to 6 o'clock, and we do stream live online as well at www.cfrc.ca. And the clock just turned over 42 minutes now after 5 o'clock. There is quite a bit of time left on this show. First thing I'd like to do, though, as always, thank all of you out there for tuning in to the show today. And I do this always as well. I would like to thank those who participated in that And the Journey Continues open mic that evening. Also to our barista, Anthea, who took great care of us there that evening. And, of course, always to the Elm Cafe for being such a caring and supportive host for this series. Been going on, I think, 8 full years already. It's hard to believe. And before that, it was other places. But they've been just an incredible host and venue for this event, and I thank them. Also, just a quick reminder before we move on, something I do usually at the end of the segment or the show is just to remind you that every week, both hours of this show are uploaded to my personal blog space for it shortly after I get home at Finding a Voice on CFRCFM, .wordpress.com. I place them there on my personal blog space, usually about 7 o'clock, shortly after I get home. So it is just creeping up on 44 minutes after 5 o'clock now. I do have a whole bunch of events that are starting to really fill up. So there are some, and I won't get to everything, but at least I'm going to catch us up through this coming week and maybe a bit into the week after that. Coming up first is this Sunday evening. It's in Hamilton, actually, and it's Lit Live. It runs at the Staircase Cafe and Theater. It is a first evening of each month event that runs from September through June. Door is pay what you can. They do suggest $5 to $10. I've always gotten really great information from their Facebook page, so I would suggest that you just go there. Lit Live Reading Series on Facebook. These are happening at the Staircase Cafe and Theater, which is at 27 Dundurn Street North in Hamilton. Again, Sunday evening, February 1st, 7 p.m. Let's go ahead and just go with the next, since you were just hearing readings from that. The next And the Journey Continues open mic reading happens again at the Elm Cafe. This series did begin in 2009, but again, the last 8 years has been at the Elm. And running continuously as a first Tuesday night of the month reading series. That will be coming up. I should give you the address. The Elm Cafe is at 303 Montreal Street in Kingston, right at the corner of Montreal and Patrick. Or not Patrick. And Charles. I think that's right. Anyway, 303. Just look it up, I guess. I can't. I think it's Charles Street. So 303, it is 303 Montreal Street, so that'll get you there for sure. There's also a bus service that stops just almost right outside the door and picks up right outside the door. So doors open at 6:30, and the event runs from 7 to 9:15, again, this coming Tuesday, February 3rd. Also, another First Tuesday Night of the Month event that happens in Madoc. It's called First Tuesday Muse. They also have a Facebook page that is always kept very well up to date, so I'd suggest you look there if you want more information. But I can tell you it's a First Tuesday Night of the Month that's held in, again, Madoc at the with host TJ Best. And this is held at Finn's Pub and Patio, 231 Durham Street South in Madoc. Their event runs, again, Tuesday, February 3rd, 7 to 9 p.m. And let's see what else we have here. We do have, here in Kingston, there is a workshop series going on right now. There are still, I think, yeah, three out of the six. And this isn't a series where you have to attend them all at the workshop. This is, each one is individually wrapped, I guess. But Suzanne Biro is offering free writing workshops on Thursdays from 6 to 7:30, and this began in January, now is running in February at the Central Branch of the Kingston Frontenac Public Library. Again, I mentioned, I'm reading this here, this is not a series, so you can attend individual sessions. It does say registration is preferred, but drop-ins will be welcome if there's room. Each session's total cap will be at around 12 to 15 people. Go to their website. There you can find out more. Kingston Frontenac Public Library's website. This is actually Kingston Frontenac Public Library and Kingston Writers Collective that are coordinating this. And again, facilitated with Suzanne Biro. And Kingston Frontenac Public Library, this is happening at their second, their central branch, which is located at 130 Johnson Street in Kingston. The remaining nights run from 6 to 7:30 p.m. This coming Thursday, right? February 5th, yeah. Then the 12th and then the 19th. So go online at KFPL. Actually, you can go to it's best to go to their calendar. So calendar.kfpl.ca/events, and then you should be able to more easily find and sign up and register for this event. There is another event coming up that evening. That is it's a performance. I was at the launch at Novel Idea. I believe it was the launch at Novel Idea, and it was very entertaining. So I would highly also recommend this for those that either can't fit into the workshop or are more more drawn to perhaps doing attending something and listening to someone else with their own work. Excuse me. And it's Bruce McDonald. It will give a lively performance around his book called Sound Like a Sailor, the Book of Nautical Expressions. You might have heard this or a portion of it on the radio show because he was at Novel Idea, I don't know, 2 or 3 months ago maybe. And I did record that reading then, and it was very entertaining. I would strongly urge that you might want to go. So it's Great Lakes Museum is where it's held, which is located at 55 Ontario Street. This is coming up also Thursday, February 5th, starts at 7 p.m. Let's see what else we've got here. Coming the following night, I told you things are starting to get busy here now. The following night, Gabrielle Rockhill will launch Who Paid the Pipers of Marxism? It says they will launch their book at 7 p.m. Friday, February 6th. So shortly after this show airs, an hour after this show airs next week, you'll be able to go to that. That's happening at Novel Idea Bookstore, which is located at 156 Princess Street here in Kingston. There's also Walks of Life open mic. That's a monthly open mic. It's held the second Friday night of the month. So that would make this month's coming up on February the 13th. And it runs, the doors are at 7 p.m. It runs from 7:30 to 9 p.m. I'm just going to read you what I've read off of their poster and let you go from there. It's a second Friday night of the month open mic event created and hosted by Abby Louise. And then I guess what I'm reading now is more the quote from the poster. So let's do this. Quote, this is a non-judgmental space open to all ages and walks of life to listen to or share music, poetry, short stories. And each person participating will have 5 to 15 minutes to share, end quote. And I think that just depends on how many people sign up and how they can divide the time up. That kind of takes us there. Let's do this too, because trying to check the clock here. There's another one coming up that's a series, Quirks of Human Nature. It's poetry performed with improvised music. That's a monthly event, the third Tuesday night of the month. It's a series put on by Deb Shermans and Meg Freer. The featured poet that evening will be Wanda Pramsma. The music provided by Ben Hicklin. And the bonus poets will be Joel Giroux and Carolyn Kenyons. Deb Shermans is on piano and co-MCs, and Meg Freer MCs the event. This is held at the Timeout Bar and Bistro, located at 167 Ontario Street here in Kingston. Again, the date, that's again a Tuesday night of the month series, so that would make it February 17th, and it runs from 7:30 to 9:30 p.m. And let me check my time here, but I think I'm getting pretty close to having to wrap up here. Well, I will just mention it because she mentioned it too. Coming up, it's called Common Language. This is what Liz mentioned in her first reading that you heard today. It says, and this is a quote from their media, quote, join us at Grains and Goods Coffee Bar, Studio 330 West. West End Wellness, for an evening of poetry, music, and connection. And it says, Damn Good Coffee, featuring poetry from Liz Huntley-Jensk, Kalista Markotic, and I'll be one of the poets. Music will be by Daniel Bucksteeg on bass. No cover, doors at 6:30. Coffee bar is open for beverages and treats. Again, this is happening at Grains and Goods Coffee Bar / Studio West, Studio 330 West. It's the location is 851 to 855 Northwest Road, Kingston, which is right beside the CAT Center here in Kingston. I would like to thank you for tuning in to the radio show this afternoon. I think I need to proceed now with the very last song. And do stay tuned at the top of the hour for 2 hours of East Coast music and a show called Saltwater Music, hosted by Rob Carnell. Again, check out the blog space, finding a voice on cfrcfm.wordpress.com. And let me get this thing loaded up, and we should be good to go. I hope you all have a very great week out there, and I'll catch you here next week. Thanks again for tuning in today.
hands on the wheel. Let the golden age begin. The window down. Desert wind, cool your aching head. The weight of the world drift away instead. Treacherous road with a desolated view. Is this still life? All night.